Hello, and welcome to the Love and Lead podcast. My name is Becky Wagaman. If you are new to the podcast, a special welcome. If you're returning to the podcast, another special welcome. We're glad you're here. Jean Street and I together just have found this to be a place that we hope to bring a little bit of encouragement and some resources to parents. And we hope you enjoy our first invitation this fall is an invitation to faithfulness.
Well, hello, Jean. How are you today?
Hi, Becky. I'm doing great. It's nice to hear you.
Yes, it's good to be back together. And I'm looking outside. We have kind of a rainy, cool day. My tree right to outside my window is actually turning yellow, and wow, like fall is coming, which I love. I'm actually like wearing my hooded sweatshirt and socks.
You're just going for it.
I am. And I'm like, oh, this feels so good to have something soft on. And so tell me, like, do you like fall? What do you look forward to as the seasons change?
I love fall. It's not my favorite season. Spring is, but I really love the change of seasons. And I look forward to experiencing, you know, whatever the season brings. And oddly enough, I always miss the season we just had. So even though I don't really like it, really hot and humid, I'm already thinking, oh, no more hot and humid days. As I enjoy the present cooler fall weather. So I'm kind of a mix, I think.
It is. And doesn't that just remind us of transitions? Like,
yeah, exactly.
I mean, it is. And I know for me, the darker evenings have been, I walk my dog often in the evening, and last night it was like 8 o'clock and I went out to walk her and it was pretty much dark, completely dark. And like you said, just like, oh, it's really changed.
Yeah.
And it's not bad always, but there is that part. And don't we, I mean, that kind of leads us into, we're a parenting podcast.
Yeah.
Like, transitions, whether they be small or big, this is constant when you parent kids.
It's kind of the definition of parenting, isn't it? Transition after transition.
I was just talking to a parent the other day that it was like, I'm hoping, you know, what's the next season? Is it going to be better? You know, almost like wishing into that next, because you just know things are ever changing with kids. Yeah. As long as it feels some days, you're like, oh, will that next season come? But then all of a sudden they're doing things or saying things and you're like, oh my, things have changed.
It's so interesting. I know we'll get to our topic in just a minute, but I had read an article recently about how the longest stage of parenting really is parenting adult children. And we never really think of that. I mean, of course it is. Infancy is a year and toddlerhood is a couple years. And then there's elementary age and the teen years. And then all of a sudden it's adults. And that's what we parent for the rest of our lives.
That is a different view. And I'm just entering that stage. I feel like even though my daughter's 21, almost 22, I'm still getting my bearings to that, I can just foresee that that's going to be a lot of changes even in the years to come as they continue to grow and mature. And
two of my sons are going to turn 40 next year and I'm thinking, how does that happen?
Yeah.
I still have questions about, should I say this? Should I help in this way? Should I not?
Yeah. That's cool. Well,
Just a free thought.
It is. So we are, just a reminder because it's been a little while since we've been together. I am excited about this because I love how we call it Love and Lead Parenting Podcast, with just the understanding of God as our Father is ever parenting us. He loves us. He leads us. And it's from that place that when we can take up our privilege and responsibility to love and lead our kids as well. So when we talk, we always start with an invitation, and we look at how God works in our lives, what he's inviting us into, and then how can we translate that into parenting as we love and lead our kids as well. So today we wanted to talk about faithfulness or consistency. We see that God, when he created the world, he made order and structure for us. It's part of what's hardwired in us as humans, the rhythms of life, even as we talk about the changing of seasons, daytime and night. God was putting things in order. It's what makes the world feel safe, and we can know what to expect. And that really gives us the room to have freedom then, and to thrive in the world he's given us to. So I want to take that idea of God's faithfulness in creation and how he created that order and structure. Now, how do we in turn do that for our children, create that type of environment that we can love our and lead our kids into order in such a way that they feel safe and they can feel free to grow into all they're meant to be?
Yeah, it's so good starting with the place of who God is. You know, that he is the definition of consistency.
Yeah.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, there's so many promises that he will never leave us or forsake us. And he loves us, and nothing can separate us from the love of God. And it's just the absolute definition of consistency. And I think that as parents, sometimes we forget how vitally important that is. I mean, you touched on such an important thing, that because God is constant and a God of order and the epitome of consistency, that's the thing that gives us security and helps us know that we can trust him because he behaves in certain ways. And I think that's what our kids need to know. I like the definition of consistency in parenting as parents, we follow through and do as we say we will do. It's just important for kids to know that when we say something, that's what's going to happen.
Right.
That is the thing that helps them strengthen connections in the brain. It helps with the if this, then that development, even in little tiny people.
Yeah.
If I touch this thing and it hurts me, then I'm not going to touch that thing next time.
Sure.
If I do this behavior and I get corrected by my loving parents, I'm not going to do that behavior next time. I mean, it's just integral for learning.
Yeah. Well, and what I hear in that is, what are we communicating? That's what just pops up to me from obviously our words, like what do we want to say? Like, how do we want to say it? But also our behaviors as parents, are we consistent? We know that if a stove is hot, like you said, you'll burn your hand. Is my behavior consistent to my child so that they know what to expect from me in response?
Exactly. That's how they learn to trust us as parents, and they can find out that the world is going to be a safe, consistent, understandable place. But if the rules are always changing, they're not going to know. They're not going to be secure. They're going to keep testing the limits to find out where those limits are. One of the real basic things I think about when I think about consistency that's so hard for parents, touching on what you said about our behavior, are we being consistent? So we really do need to resist the temptation to give a second and third chance or a fourth and fifth chance to a child who's trying to find out where the boundaries are.
Sure. If
we say the boundary is, let's say, the sidewalk in your yard, don't go past that. But then they do, and you just say, I just told you, don't go past that. And they do it again. I already told you, don't go past that. They have found out that that's really not a boundary.
Okay. So,
because there's no consequences.
I was just going to say, then lead us through that example, because we've all been there
right.
as parents. I mean, that's also hardwired in kids to test those boundaries. What's a different way of handling it than verbally, you know, telling them, don't go past the sidewalk? What's my choices as a parent?
Well, I think one of the most important things is to make very clear, concise rules.
Okay.
Because prevention really is the key. We don't want to have to get to the place where we have to have negative consequences all the time if we can prevent it and help them with that learning.
Right.
So a few clear, specific rules that have consequences built in. So with this silly sidewalk example, it could be first time they cross the sidewalk and they end up in the neighbor's yard. That's when you have to say, oh, the sidewalk is going to be our boundary. And if you go past it, then we're going to go inside because you did not stay within the boundary. Let them know ahead of time what the very clear, concise expectation is. And then immediately, the first time they do that, you have to take them back in the house. It's tiring. It's very tiring, but it's so important for them to learn that there really are rules that we need to follow. And that's the thing that gives us that freedom that you were talking about earlier.
Right. And I think even when you talk about prevention and the sidewalk, even being able to connect it, I remember last year, and listeners could go back and listen about having your family values. So I think if you could even connect that, you know, hey, we don't cross the sidewalk because we're going to stay safe. You know, it's our family that, you know, value that you're protected. My job's to keep you safe. There's the busy street where cars are. So to be safe, we stay here. If you can connect it to your family values that you can repeat with some of those rules, then it begins to help them understand, oh, mommy's just keeping me safe. Does that work? Oh, Jean, I think I lost you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, now I can hear you.
I don't, sorry about that. I don't know what happened. yes, that works excellently. And that's a really good point to make that, referring, giving kids as they grow older, why those things are important, that this is what our family does. This is part of our values, part of our identity as a family. It's also important to remember that we need to stay calm. As I was starting to say, how exhausting this is, and we could be very tempted to lose our tempers. That usually happens if we're giving the second and third and fourth explanation to don't cross the sidewalk. If we can stick to the first one, we can stay much more calm in that situation.
Yes.
We just take that child and move them to where we want them. We follow through on what we told them the expectations would be. And things are more calm.
I love that.
lose our tempers, then the whole issue becomes about us instead of about their behavior.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so angry and I can't stand this. And
I can see that. Yep.
So if we can keep it on the child, that particular behavior, and take action right away, it's much more effective and much more helpful.
Yes.
And almost sometimes we think, well, I'm just going to wait and see what happens and wait and see what my child is like and see how they do. Sometimes there's a little bit of wisdom with that, but for the most part, we know right from wrong as adults, and we want to instill those things as quickly as we can. And so let's say if a child perceives that a behavior is working, like a negative one, they want your attention. They don't want to do what you want them to do. And so they're going to start misbehaving. And what is that going to do? That's going to get your attention. And that's what they want. Even if you're yelling, even if it's negative attention, you're always going to see, hey, this works. I'm getting what I want right now. So I'm going to keep doing this. So sometimes what you have to figure out in being consistent is, I wonder what my child really wants right now. Are they screaming and yelling because they're not getting their way, or because they want my attention, or because they got hurt? It's important to be in tune with your child and recognize what they need, what they're trying to do, and respond to that.
Yeah.
You know, we really do need to ignore whatever we can. If it's, I'll come up with an example. One time, and maybe I already spoke about this last year, but we adopted my daughter when she was 10, and she had some behavior disorders that she came to our home with. And we went camping, and she decided that she did not want to help set the table or some minor task like that. What she wanted to do instead was just have my attention, talking or whatever. It was a kind of a contest of wills. Mm-hmm. And she threw herself down in the dirt and started rolling around. Mm-hmm. And I was very embarrassed, of course, a busy campground. And I could have, you know, tried to reason with her and try to get up and make it look like I'm a really good parent and being so gentle. Instead, what I decided I needed to do, because she just wanted my attention, I just had to turn my back on her, mm-hmm. on that behavior. And wouldn't you know it, I faced the table, the task I wanted her to do. And pretty soon she got up and got in front of me because she wanted my attention. Mm-hmm. And I could quickly catch her being good. Oh, thank you so much for coming over to the table. That's fantastic. Would you take these plates? And before mm-hmm. she knew it, she was doing what I wanted mm-hmm. because I ignored what I could and gave the encouragement and the consistency in getting what I wanted her to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I appreciate that too, in light of, you know, in that example, clearly your child's emotions were out of control. Whatever mm-hmm. was going on was unmanageable to her.
Right. That
in such a way that your greatest gift to her in that moment was to be that calm presence that leads on, so that she could she could kind of borrow, right. if you will, from you are regulating the environment for her and made it a safe space that, well, we're setting the table. You continued on with right. this is what we're doing, and created a regulated environment then that once the huge wave of the emotion passed, she had the opportunity to join you. Now, not all times do they do that, and it doesn't always work that way, but I think that is the gift of leading and regulating.
Right.
The environment you give, that feeds into consistency too.
Well, she consistently knew that I was not going to attend to that negative behavior. Mm-hmm. So she might as well stop that. I was able to do it fairly successfully with her. My son pushed different buttons in me. Mm-hmm. And I found myself just as often not being successful with him than in those same kind of situations. So he kind of, until I got a hold of myself, I just realized, oh, he never knew which mom he was going to get. I wasn't very consistent mm-hmm. with him because mm-hmm. of his behaviors. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we have to learn. You ask God, God, please help me to figure out why I'm responding this way to this particular child, and help mm-hmm. me to be more consistent in my responses.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about just some general areas that as parents, like, to watch for your consistency, or where do we, you know, what are those opportune times or places that we need to be aware of that we can be consistent in?
Oh, yeah, that's such an important thing. I think in general, I'm going to give a general category, and that is running errands.
Okay.
If we know that our child maybe doesn't like to run errands, but we legitimately have to get some done, prepare ahead of time. Let the child know exactly what to expect, and then follow through on that. Like, we're going to run into this store, but we're not going to have time to look at the toys today. So we're not going to look at toys. We have to go in and get this, and then we're going to come back out to the car. Like, let them know that ahead of time and mm-hmm. be ready to follow through on that. I was at the library during a preschool story time, and I got to witness this mom. Again, she was trying to do well, and I think she thought this was the right thing to do, but her child was lying on the floor, not cooperating, not listening, and just kind of kicking feet, not yelling, but not doing the right thing. And the mom kept saying, you got to get up or you're not going to get ice cream. Come on, get up or you're not going to get ice cream. Kept her cool. I mean, she didn't resort to yelling, but kept saying that thing over and over and over. Mm-hmm. And the child eventually got up when she wanted to and said, okay, I'm ready to go get ice cream now. And the mom said, good, I'm glad. Let's go.
Wow.
So that child learned that her behavior worked for her.
Mm-hmm.
Got to lay there and be in charge and still got the ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of knowing ahead of time, letting your child know ahead of time what to expect, and then following through on that expectation.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. So good. And even, I mean, yes, for ourselves.
Right.
Don't you feel like sometimes that preparing, okay, I'm going to run errands with these kids, like, it just even prepares you mentally, like, this is not my favorite. Like,
right. Right.
So you can prepare yourself too mentally, and then communicate with them what this is about, like, what's our goal and what we're going to do, like you said, and then follow through. I like that.
Well, that way nobody is caught off guard. Mm-hmm. I know so many moms and dads aren't really good at making a quick off-the-cuff decision. And if you're not prepared, then it's hard to do that. Every single question becomes a long decision-making process for you. And then your children end up not knowing what to expect.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so in those cases, because I have a very dear friend who's just not good, she really has to think through everything before she can make a decision. And she had to learn the coping skill for herself. She had to learn to say, I don't really have an answer to that right now. Could you give me a couple minutes until I come up with my decision?
Right.
You know, kids are so quick to say, can I, can I, can I,
yes.
can I? Mom, 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 mom. So yeah. She learned to say that, and that really worked for her.
Yeah. Well, and that was what I was just wondering, like, certain environment, like when you're hungry or your children are hungry or when you're tired, like, how can we prepare for those times of the day that, or situations where there's that added stress maybe on us physically or in an environment what are some things we can, you just gave us one, like, mm-hmm. can I have a few moments? That's a great coping skill. If you're feeling tired or not up to responding, you can give yourself permission to take a moment there.
Right.
What else works?
Well, it's very important if you or your children tend to get hungry, or if it is around mealtime, it's important to carry snacks with you, to have those available. That can ward off the, can we stop at McDonald's during the errands? Another thing to consider, and we're not good at this in this country, we're very much think that we need to satisfy everything immediately. We're not good with delayed gratification, but if your child is tired, you might consider not running to the store for some special ingredient for dinner and just making do, because it's not going to end well.
Yep. Counting the cost.
Right. So sometimes it really is a matter of changing your plans and being okay with that.
Yeah. Yes. And that was one thing I wanted to touch on too, was how do you remain consistent when you've got uncontrollable factors, like a sickness or a flat tire, then how do you, you know, keep your grasp on consistency?
I think probably the most important thing is to keep your cool and to recognize God's still aware of us whenever those unexpected things happen. He hasn't lost his control over our lives, or he's not wringing his hand saying, oh no, what do I do now? There's no unexpected with him. And so I think if we can maybe remember that, and remember that he's with us all the time, no matter what, even in those unexpected times, it can help us stay calm. And I think that would be the most important thing. Take a deep breath that helps our bodies know that it's okay. Breathing deeply is a relaxation technique that would help. And then just talking to the kids and saying, if they're old enough to understand, wow, this is a change than what we had expected, isn't it? And it's a change for me too. How do you think, depending on the age of your child, talk to them about it. How do you think we should handle this? To really, you know, that would be for a school age child, or especially a teenager, but even for like the kindergarten age, preschool age, you can say, I know, I'm disappointed too. We'll have to plan this another day. Is there something we can do instead right now? Or if it's a flat tire or a car problem, it's, well, we're going to have to wait a little while right now, aren't we? Let's count the yellow cars that we see, or, you know, just have something low key as you're staying calm to help your child stay calm. That will give them the security too. So the consistency in that is, my mom or dad or grandma or grandpa, whoever it is, doesn't get flustered. They understand that crises or the unexpected might happen, but it doesn't have to make us all crazy.
Yeah.
That we can remember God is with us and it's ultimately going to be okay.
So good. So good. So I think we need to wrap up now, Jean. What's coming to me too in this conversation is like even assessing what's my starting place as a parent? Like what's my comfortability? I think we tend to work from a place of over structure, somebody that really loves to have control and order. And those things, when uncontrollable happens, it throws us more. And just understanding that we're going to grow in being adaptable, being consistent in the uncontrollables. But then there's others that maybe like, oh, they have no order or structure is where they start. And what they're going to be growing into or invited into is, no, like you can make a decision, lead it, and follow right through. That order and structure is your friend. So knowing where we start can even help us know what we're growing into as we parent and lead our kids.
Yeah, that's so good. We just really have to be more intentional with knowing who we are and who God is and what we want for our children.
Yeah, so good. Well, as we close today, Jean, what's your one thing that you'd love parents to take away?
I think it's this. Prevention is the key. Instead of being reactive, let's let God work with us to be proactive.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Taking your time and even thinking through before you do something.
I think that's it.
All right. Well, thank you, Jean. Thanks, I look forward to our next conversation.
So do I. Bye-bye.
Bye.